Math Savitri Bhavan today, and with me is Shradhavan from Auroville. Hello.
Hello.
So, how did you come to Auroville?
I was very lucky at a crucial point in my life when I was 26 years old. Now, one day with my partner, we went to visit a friend. This is happening in London. And we were surprised when we arrived at his home that a talk was going on. There were many people there, and a talk was going on. And because we had missed the beginning, we didn't know what was the topic of the talk. But over the next half an hour or 45 minutes, I had a very remarkable experience that all many topics which I had been interested in, education, psychology, social justice, progress, a better society, many interests which I had, I had the experience as if they were different rooms inside my head. And as the talk was going on, the doors to the rooms opened and everything fitted together, and I knew what I could do for the rest of my life. And that was not connected with Auroville, that was connected with the teachings of Sri Aurobindo.
Had you read the teachings of Sri Aurobindo?
No, that was the first time I heard the name of Sri Aurobindo. And when I heard his name, then I asked the person who was giving the talk, and I asked myself, how come there has been such a person on the earth? And I've been searching for the last 8-9 years, and I never heard his name. How could it happen? But anyway, now I've heard his name, and now I've made a contact with him, and now I want to know more and more and more and more about him. And I would like to say that the central point which tied all these things together was that evolution is not finished. I don't know why we should think that evolution is finished, but before that, the idea that there might be further evolutionary steps for humanity had not occurred to me. And the other point that the speaker made was that all the problems that humanity is facing at the moment, it is caused by our mental consciousness, that we create problems, then we find solutions, and the solutions create more problems. Nowadays we hear that Einstein said that you can't solve a problem on the same level where it has arisen. You have to go to another level. And then I understood that Sri Aurobindo is offering us the possibility that he says that there is a possibility not only for humanity to evolve, but each human being can work on their own evolution, and that will contribute to the evolution of the whole. And we can reach to a higher level, and then we'll be able to solve our problems. So that was so marvelous to me to hear this.
Did the speaker at that time, when he was talking about this in England, know about Sri Aurobindo and the mother?
Yes, he had been to the ashram. He had lived in the ashram, I think, for 2 or 3 years in the 1950s. And I don't know the reason why he had left the ashram, but the reason he was in London was that he had compiled from all the published sources available at that time, the published works of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. He had compiled a book on the psychology of the integral yoga, all about the planes and parts of being, the different parts of the personality. And it was a compilation from the writings of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. So it was, I was not the only one who was interested. After that, he started to come to that place, to that flat, two or three times a week, and he would read from his book. And that was a wonderful education which we passed through over a period of several months.
Yeah, and you have been so lucky that when you came to Auroville, you had this chance of meeting the mother, whom we all have never had the chance. And your experience on the first visit with the mother, when you first looked at her, what was that feeling which was going inside you?
I should tell you first that even before I came to Auroville, while we were still in London, one night I had a dream or a vision of her. And I was asking her, "Mother, can I come to the ashram?" And she said, "No, not the ashram. There's another place." And she showed me another place. In my dream, I thought it was in Italy for some reason. But after I came to Auroville, then I saw some of those people she had shown to me. But at that time, when I had that dream, we didn't know anything about Auroville. I'm talking about 1969 now. Nobody knew anything about Auroville. It had only just been founded. I was interested in the teachings of Sri Aurobindo. I'd done quite a lot of traveling, but I'd come to the conclusion that I didn't want to do physical traveling anymore, that I wanted to work on inner discovery. And now I had a guide, Sri Aurobindo. I thought, I don't need to go anywhere. But we couldn't buy Sri Aurobindo's books in London at that time. We had to order them from somebody in Switzerland who was connected with the ashram. So I ordered the book, Synthesis of Yoga. And when the book came from Zurich, included in it were some photographs of the mother. And the very first publicity about Auroville. I didn't feel that I needed to go anywhere. I thought, now Sri Aurobindo has shown the way that I can try to live my life in the best way. I don't need to go anywhere. But among a group of young people, there were some who were very interested to come. And they started making arrangements. We wrote to the mother, and she said, "Yes, come. But don't come yet." Actually, she didn't write personally. It came through the Sri Aurobindo Society. Auroville was a project of the Sri Aurobindo Society in Pondicherry. And so they were managing all the Auroville matters. And the reply came, "Mother has accepted you, but don't come yet, nothing is ready. We will let you know when to come." And then we wrote back and said, "Are you going to tell us or can we write again?" And they said, "Well, we are going to tell you, but you can write again if you want."
Did you ever ask Mother why did she give you the name Shadhavan?
I didn't ask her, but I think I know.
What was it?
When she gave names to people, she didn't see the surface person. She looked at the whole history of the soul. And that was the basis on which she would give the name. Maybe even the future destiny. And people were puzzled. They said, "Mother's made a mistake. They've given you a man's name. She's given you a man's name." And I said, "No, Mother doesn't make mistakes." Later, a real Sanskrit scholar told me that the name is neuter. It's like man. We say man for human beings, no? In the same way this can be for male or female.
When did you start writing on the English of Savitri?
Oh, quite recently. I started taking the classes. Originally, way back in the 1980s. But then after Savitri Bhavan began to develop, I think the first classes perhaps we gave here, and we had no building at that time, we just had a key hut. We'd meet in that key hut in the early mornings sometimes. And then when we had the building, that is to say after the 8th of August 1998, then I started doing them here. And the groups have changed, the sessions have changed. We started doing the Sunday morning Savitri study circle. I think that started in 1994. But the books, that was another idea altogether. We publish a magazine, Invocation, which is study notes on Savitri. And after many, many issues, I think only maybe it's issue number 36 or 42 or something like that, I included a transcript of one of the Savitri talks. And then people appreciated that so much, we went on doing it. And some of our friends in other parts of India, friends in Baroda, Vadodara, it's connected, a place connected with Sri Aurobindo, where he lived. There's a very good translator there, and he asked permission if he could translate into Gujarati. He started translating the invocation articles into Gujarati and publishing in book form. So then we thought, oh well, if he can do that in Gujarati, why don't we do it in English? So the first book, I think, was published in 2013.
Mother says, for the opening of the psychic, for the improvement of the English, and for the silence, it's good to read Savitri, these few lines a day.
A little bit every day, yes.
So, what is psychic? So far as we have understood, it's a very vague concept. Could you elaborate a little bit on the psychic?
I think all spiritual paths tell us that nothing could exist at all. Nothing could exist if it didn't have a spark of the divine within it. No?
Yeah.
There's the Brahman, and every form in the material universe is sustained by a spark of the divine presence. And Sri Aurobindo, in his evolutionary view, says that that spark is there even in pebbles and plants and animals. But there's an evolutionary process. That spark has descended into the material universe, this material universe, with the purpose of participating in this evolutionary purpose. So around itself, in each of its manifestations, it is building up a personality gradually. And the outer evolution of forms in nature gives new possibilities, richer and more complex possibilities, for that soul personality to develop. And it's very important, it's marvelous, it's so wonderful that we have reached at this human stage where the mental has developed. That gives us a certain degree of possibility of understanding and of choice. We can't rely on our minds entirely because they're still so imperfect and we're living in the ignorance. But still, to a certain extent, we have some possibility of choice about ourselves. That means that human beings have the possibility to consciously participate in their own individual evolution and to contribute to the forward movement of everything else. So in Sri Aurobindo and Mother's teaching, this focus on the psychic being is very, very important. If we can not only believe that we have a soul, but really feel the presence of the soul and follow its guidance, begin to learn, you know, when it tells us, better avoid this, or this will do you good, this is something wonderful, making choices like that. Then as the being gradually develops, it may take a long time, we may not reach the fulfillment in this life, but we have more possibilities. Whatever progress we make in this life, it will help for the next, for the future. So,
there are instances in the poem where King Aswapati, he goes up to the higher planes, comes down.
Yes.
And
it says it's like this for a time, and that it has to be like this for a time, because the whole nature has to develop. It's not only the soul. So the soul can easily reach those heights, but it can't just stay up there, because then the lower nature would remain just the same as it is. It couldn't progress at all. So there have to be these descents. The higher consciousness comes down. We don't notice. It's working behind the veil. So we have been given this wonderful opportunity at Mahatmandir.
Yeah.
But there's a place where we can go where the energy has been concentrated, especially to help us find our inner being. But we can't stay there forever. The other side of our life in Aurobindo is the outer work, no? And these two are complementary. Whatever we realize within, we have to be able to express in our daily work. And that's why Mother's given us this city to build.
In this poem, Savitri, one goes through different stages of his life, her life, and we can relate to it to a certain extent. While writing this book, did you relate to certain characters like Savitri or King Aswapati?
No, it's not quite like that. In this book, Sri Aurobindo is sharing with us through this amazing poetic rhythms and images, evocative language. He's sharing with us, you know, the ocean of his knowledge and spiritual experience. So whatever the inner being is ready to receive at a particular moment, you will receive it. And there may be things you're not ready, so then that passage won't mean so much to you. But at another time...
When is the next book coming up?
My book?
Your book?
It should be, the first copy should be available on 10th of August, I'm told.
10th of August, this month.
That's about the book of yoga.
So, it has been a number of years you are here in Auroville now. Number of years here?
I think 46.
46 years.
Almost 47. I came in 1970, November 1970.
You have seen a lot in Auroville, the growing of Auroville. So, how do you feel is different from 1970s?
There's been an unbelievable physical progress. It's really remarkable considering the small number of people. But of course we have to, we're still not even 3,000 registered members of Auroville, actually.
And why does it keep on reducing?
That's a practical question.
People should stay here. It's a good place.
Many, many people would love to stay here, but they don't find housing. And now again, it was for a time opened up, but again the entry service is saying you have to have a permanent housing solution before we will add your name to the master list. So I don't want to go into that. I think it's a very sad thing. When Mother accepted me for Oroville, I had to go down the stairs to the office of her son, Monsieur André, who was handling admissions to Oroville. And he said, "All Mother's accepted you, where will you go?" And I said, "I'll go to Aspiration." And he said, "They are living three people to a room there, you know." And I said, "Somebody's offered to share their room with me." So like that. And it was a keyed hut. And later on, that keyed hut where the two of us were living, it became part of the school buildings, and it was divided up into three. And then I had just a third of a circular hut to live in. And then for a long time, I didn't really have a place of my own. I looked after Tibetan children who had been sent by Dalai Lama. So I lived with them. I didn't have to worry about a home. So I came in 1970, and I didn't have, you could say, a real place that I could say is my place. And I think until 1981, I was moving around here and there. Then at a certain point they banned the building of keyed huts. This was for security reasons, because so many of them burned down for one reason or another. But it's a pity. We had a lot. So, but you were asking how it was different.
Yeah.
So now we can say, of course, we were all very young. Most of the people here were under 30. I was one of the older ones. I was 28 when I came. The very first permanent houses were being built there. The house in Certitude that's known as Orasan's home was under construction at that time. Later on, some more came. But people were living in, sometimes just under a tree, you know, here or there. And beginning to develop.
They're still living under a tree.
Some people may still be living under trees. There was a whole family in discipline. Now there are numerous generations of that family, but they've all grown up under the trees. But I'm sure they have houses now. And now we have electricity.
There's a thing which just comes into my mind. Mm-hmm. What is the significance of this tree in Matri Mandir? That huge tree.
Yes, well, when we came, you might have seen the photographs. There wasn't anything. There were no trees for miles around. But there was this one banyan tree. And Mother designated that as the geographical center of the city. And then when Matri Mandir was to be built, it was built just next to the banyan tree. So that banyan tree has very special significance. It is unity, oneness. That's what it represents. It's the unity tree.
Yeah.
And before the amphitheater was fully developed, I mean, they prepared it for the foundation ceremony, but now it has been made much more usable. We always used to meet under the banyan tree, community meeting.
For the 50th anniversary of Oroville, what is that one thing which you'd like Oroville to have? And your expectations from Oroville, even if it would be the slight?
Somebody has suggested she's connected with Bali in Indonesia, and there, on their national day, it is a day of silence for everybody. No vehicles on the road, no dining rooms open, nothing. Everybody stays quietly at home. And she suggested we should do that on the 50th anniversary day. And probably it won't happen, but what should I feel and I hope, it is gratitude. if we would all feel what an immense privilege it is that we are allowed to be here, this special place that Mother has chosen. And then if we could feel gratitude for all the other souls who are connected here, we could really feel not our outer relationships, but that inner relationships, that we are all the soul children of the Mother, and that our task is to fulfill her dream. If that could really happen, then perhaps things would move more quickly and more harmoniously than they do at the moment.
And I feel it's going on harmoniously.
In some aspects it's going on just wonderfully. But there's a level, precisely that level, where we come together in communal organization where many things are not working.
This is bound to happen at times.
Where the development of Oroville is blocked. As I said, because why should housing be an issue? No? Why don't we just welcome the souls who come, and they will somehow, their housing problems will get solved? If we say, no, you can't. No housing solution. That's an organizational problem. It's not the only one. So that is, I see that these things are blocking. And this is because we are not far enough evolved beyond our mental state. We are still, perhaps individually it happens that people go to Madramandia or sit quietly at home when they have an issue, and they get a feeling and an inspiration and they can follow that individually. But it's much more difficult in a group, even to listen to each other. Everybody's hearing their own inner voice. There are attempts being made. I don't want to say it's not so. Many attempts being made. But I think that's an area where we need to progress much more.
We have here souls of so many different countries.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, that's marvelous. And we have so many people here who speak different languages. But here in Oroville, when we combine all of them together, bring a beautiful soul, which is in Matrimandir.
Yes, and then it will begin to have more influence. It's meant to be a pilot project that has influence in India and in the world. And it is having an amazing amount of influence, considering the small scale. But it potentially can have much more influence. Mother has even spoken in one place that it's the only hope for avoiding a third world war. At one point in the 60s, she said something. So Mother, we have a responsibility, no? We have a mission, a responsibility. We shouldn't be careless about it.
Yeah. Mother also said, which I'm reminded by this, that it would snow sometime in Pondicherry. Was she joking or was she serious about it?
No, I think that she said she had had a vision of the snow coming. So all these visions, these things that are potentialities in the subtle world, they don't necessarily manifest physically. But perhaps it can. You know? Climate change is going on. It might happen.
It would be amazing if we can ski here.
Well, whether it would be that much snow or not, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Shri. Ooh.